I want to say this at the beginning. If someone is a Christian, they will have certain priorities in their life. They will have lots of things in their life, but they will have priorities in their life. They will prioritize some things over others. There will be some things that take precedence. There will be things that are non-negotiable in their lives. There will be some things that govern the other things that are in their lives. And the reason why they take precedence and are non-negotiable and that they govern other things in their lives is because they are priorities. This is what this chapter in Ezra teaches us. It teaches us that there are certain priorities that the Christian has. And these priorities, by their very nature, take precedence. They are non-negotiable, and they govern the rest of the life of a Christian. And what this chapter teaches us is that Christians, true Christians, not just those who call themselves Christians, but Christians prioritize two things above all things. And that is the worship of God and the honor of God. Christians prioritize the worship of God and the honor of God. Because what we have in this chapter is Ezra leading a group of people from Babylon to Jerusalem. Why? So that they can worship God. That is what is ultimately driving them to go to Jerusalem. They were not traveling to Jerusalem for some sentimental reasons. They were not going because they were patriots. Ezra and the others were returning to Jerusalem to worship God. That was the ultimate reason why they were going. And what we see in this chapter is the sacrifices that they were willing to make to ensure that they were able to meet that priority of worshiping God. We will see that they were willing to take a long, slow, even dangerous journey to ensure that that priority in their life of worshiping God was fulfilled. We will see that they were willing to prioritize worship over comfort and even safety. And all this was because they were prioritizing the worship of God above all else. The worship of God for Ezra and these people back then was a priority. But also in this chapter, we notice that Ezra and the others had a related priority in their life. And they wanted to ensure that God's honor was preserved. We see this, for instance, in Ezra's refusal to accept the king's escort of soldiers. And the reason why they did not accept that or ask for it is because it would have reflected badly in God's name. It would have brought dishonor to God because Ezra had so publicly said that God looks after and protects his people. And if he were to ask for that escort, then God's name would be dishonored. And that's probably the most obvious example of Ezra and the others wanting to honor God's name. But we also see it in the way that Ezra and the people took great lengths to ensure that everything they did on that journey and before that was done decently and in order. In other words, what they were doing, they were aware that it was either honoring or dishonoring to God. So we see this, and as they're counting the money, we wonder, why are they doing that? Because it was honoring to God to do so. If they didn't and things went awry, the nations would blaspheme them because of it. God's name was at stake. Why was it that Ezra took careful search of these priests? It wasn't just a case, or Levites, it wasn't just a case that any old Levite would do. No, God's name and honor was at stake here, and so he sought for the best ones. You see, Ezra and the others cared deeply about the honors of God's name. And they ensured that they did all that they could to preserve his honour. And I hope you can see how immediately applicable this is to us all these years later. There is much for us to learn this evening from this ancient passage. We need to learn to be more like Ezra and the others in our priorities. We need to learn to prioritize the worship of God and to prioritize the honor of God's name. Because this is no mere theoretical exercise. What we prioritize will affect what we practice. Or to put it another way, equally in alliteration, what we believe will affect our behavior. You see, if our priorities are all out of sync, our lives will be all out of sync. If we believe the wrong things, then our behavior will be wrong. And so these things tonight, though we peer in on things that happened many years ago, are immensely practical for us today. And I want us to look at these things so that we may prioritize worship and prioritize God's honor. And I want to do that under two headings. First of all, the priority of worship, and then the priority of honoring God's name. And then we'll have some further application at the end. I just want to say at the beginning that if you're getting concerned why we're spending so long in the first one, fearing that the second one is going to be as long, it's not going to be the case. It's going to be more like a main meal followed by a small dessert. But then the application at the end will be like one of those really small but strong black coffees to wake us up. So first of all, the priority of worship. The priority of worship. One of Ezra's main priorities was the true worship of God. This is what drove Ezra and the others to Jerusalem. It was ultimately that they could worship God. Now, I want to say, and perhaps you've been thinking this in your mind, well, surely they could have worshipped God anytime, anywhere. They could have in Babylon. But worship at that time, we're talking about the Old Testament time, was centered in around Jerusalem and the temple. And so they could worship anywhere and at any time, but it would have been an impoverished worship. Worship in its fullest sense, if I can use that, was centered around Jerusalem and specifically the temple. And so Ezra and the others wanted to travel to Jerusalem so that they could worship God there in the temple. To worship God in the fullest sense. The true worship of God was a priority for Ezra and these others who came back. This was why they were willing to leave the comfortable life in Babylon to go to Jerusalem. Remember, we have to get our minds back into what was going back then. Jerusalem was desolate. Jerusalem was dangerous at this time. Nehemiah hadn't built the walls yet. Jerusalem was still reeling from being sacked by the Babylonians. In comparison to Babylon, Jerusalem was a nothing place. Babylon at that time, you probably know, had the beautiful hanging gardens. It had the exquisite Ishtar Gate, if you've ever seen that. Look at it at some point on the internet later. It's a beautiful architecture of this exquisite blue, radiant wall. That's just a picture of the kind of architecture that was in Babylon there. Babylon was known to be a hub of advanced science and art. And it was heavily fortified. The walls of Babylon were said to be between 80 and 85 feet thick. In other words, it was safe there. This was a place that you would want to be, ordinarily speaking. It was a place where everything was taking place. It was the happening place, and it was safe to be there. But these people were going to leave all that comfort and perhaps even luxury to go to Jerusalem, which was still smoldering if I can use that, from the sacking of the Babylonians. Why? Because the worship of God was important to these people. And so they were going to leave Babylon in all its comforts and to go to Jerusalem to worship God. And they were willing to travel a vast distance so that they could do that. They were willing to travel about 1,000 miles for that purpose. A journey that would take something like 4 months to do. It would be like us, interestingly, starting a walk from here to visit Sebastian's church in Rockluff. That's about 1,000 miles. Can you imagine doing that in Poland? Imagine walking that distance just so that they could worship God in the fullest sense of the experience. And then throw into the mix the knowledge that it would be a dangerous journey. If you just think about that, just put all these things together, they would have been sitting ducks. If you think about it, they were a large group. They couldn't go onto the radar and travel at night and so on and miss the ambushers. They would have been moving slowly. We're told that they had little ones in their midst, little children, slowing them down. They were prime targets for ambushers. And then throw into the mix that they are carrying immense wealth. These people were not unattractive to thieves. They had all their own possessions. They had the immense amounts of money and silver and gold in their possession. So you can just imagine any ambusher seeing this large company of people moving slowly with vast wealth in their possession. They were sitting ducks, humanly speaking. And they knew it. It wasn't the case that they did this blindly in faith. This is why they prayed. They prayed that God would protect them from the ambush on the way in verse 23. And yet knowing all this, knowing what situation they were in, dangerous and slow and long and being a prime target for ambushing, there was nothing going to stand them in their way because their priority was worshipping God in Jerusalem. It tells us what their priority was, doesn't it? It tells us that they were all in. It wasn't the case that the husbands went ahead to search out for the families. No, they brought their families with them. Because the worship of God for them and their family was a priority. And you can see this already in the previous chapter. We looked at some of it last week. In Ezra's request to the king, it is not full of requests for things that aren't associated with worship. It is packed full of things that are referring to the worship of God. Ezra's request to the king in the previous chapter was not to give them gold and silver so that they could prosper in Jerusalem. It was, look at verse 7, chapter 7 and verse 17. It was so that they could buy things that were associated with worship, things like rams and lambs and grain offerings and drink offerings, so that they could offer them on the altar of the house of our God in Jerusalem. That is what was driving them. The request that Ezra made was for things to facilitate the worship of God. The wine and the oil and the salt that are mentioned in chapter 7 and verse 22, these were all connected to the worship of God. This is what drove Ezra. This is what he wanted to prioritize. The salt and the wine were used in Old Testament ceremonial offerings, and so was the oil. You see, Ezra was making these requests to King Artaxerxes because his priority was the worship of God. It also explains why Ezra was so concerned about the lack of Levites when they were getting ready to travel to Jerusalem. Why? Because it was That's so important that Levites were amongst their group. Levites were integral to the true worship of God in those days. Without Levites, the worship of God would be drastically affected. If you think about the work of the Levite, they were integral to the work and the worship of God in those days. For Ezra, it was not enough for this large company of people to have vast amounts of money to spend on beautifying the temple, or even to have vast amounts of money to put towards animal sacrifices. Ezra wanted men, because if they didn't have the right men, then worship in its fullest sense would not take place. They could have the money, they could have the materials, but if they didn't have the men, then the worship of God would be detrimentally affected. And so I hope you're beginning to see that Ezra and the others had a priority of worshiping God. It was what they were all about. From the requests they made to the king, from their travel to Jerusalem, this is what they were being driven by, this priority of the worship of God in their hearts. It was not for sentimental reasons they were traveling Jerusalem. It was so that they could worship God in its fullest sense. This was one of their priorities. But I want to also say that so was God's honor. And this is briefer. Because it is clear that Ezra and the others prioritized the honor of God secondly. And this is seen in several places in this chapter before us. Most notably, when they ask, when Ezra says that he doesn't want the king's escort of soldiers, but also in some of the detail of the passage, and there is a lot of detail in the passage. The honor of God was a priority for Ezra and these people. And that's clear, for instance, when we notice how keen Ezra is to preserve the honor of God's name when he decided against asking for this king's escort of soldiers. The reason why Ezra did not pursue military protection for the journey, knowing how dangerous it was because it would have reflected badly on God's name. Look at verse 22. I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help against the enemy on the roads, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. If Ezra had asked for protection after saying all those things about God, which are true, by the way, then the king and everyone else who heard it would surely have thought very little of God, wouldn't they, if he then turned round and asked for some soldiers to help along the way. It would be like standing up in this room and saying, God is able to protect us to the uttermost, but can I borrow some of your soldiers? Can you see why Ezra did not take this opportunity to protect his people? It would have been ultimately dishonoring to God, because it's saying that Ezra ultimately, deep down, did not believe that God could protect them, even though he had said so publicly so. And so he turns down, or he doesn't even ask for these soldiers, because he knew that God's honor was at stake. Now, what I wanted to say in passing is that in a different set of circumstances, Ezra could have asked for those escort of soldiers. We actually see Nehemiah doing that. We'll see that in a few weeks' time in chapter 2 and verse 9 of Nehemiah. That he asks for, or he's certainly accompanied by soldiers along the way to Jerusalem, and he's not condemned for it in Scripture. But what Ezra teaches us, I think, is that when God's name is at stake so publicly, bearing in mind that he said these things in front of so many, at least the king, when God's honor is at stake so publicly, then Ezra was willing to put God's honor first, even at the expense of sensible precautions. For Ezra, God's honor came first, and he prioritized that even above his own comfort and safety. And we see this too more briefly in the way that Ezra made careful search of Levites. We read in verse 17 that Ezra gives this command to Yiddo, the chief man, at this place called Casiphia, or however it's pronounced, to bring them servants for God's house. And we don't actually know who Yiddo was or what happened at Casiphia. But what appears to be the case is that it was here that the best men were trained. We know this because in the end, verse 18, Sherebiah is brought forward and he is described as being a man of understanding. But the point I want to make is that Ezra made careful search for the right man. Not just any man would do. Not just any Levite. Why did Ezra do that? Because he knew that these men would be holy instruments in God's service. They would be the ones to bear God's name in how they worked. Look at verse 28. Ezra says to the Levites, "You are holy to the Lord." In other words, you are set aside for God's work, and you will bear the name of God in your work. The way in which you work will either honor God or dishonor him. You see, the honor of God was a priority for Ezra. And so he took great pains to ensure that the right man was there for the job. And I want to say that this is also what caused Ezra to take great pains to take care of the finances. I don't know if you noticed that. God's honor at stake was here. How often we hear of financial scandals. And what does it do? It brings dishonor upon the individuals and the companies or the institutions where that took place, didn't it? Well, Ezra was going to ensure that that didn't happen on his watch. He made the people painstakingly count everything at the beginning and then at the end of the journey. Why? Because the honor of God was at stake. Just imagine the dishonor there would have been if some of this money had gone astray. And just think of dishonor it would have brought on not only Ezra, but on God himself. The nations around them would have blasphemed God if something had gone awry there. They would have cursed the one true and living God as a result. And so Ezra was not going to let this happen on his watch. He was going to ensure that God's honor was left intact, if I can put it this way, by doing everything decently and in order in this financial realm. But before I turn to some brief application, I want to finish with this. And this is important. Ezra wanted all the honor to go to God. There's a real danger that we can look at Ezra and think how great he was. And he was. There's no getting around that. He was a great leader. But I want to say that Ezra cared so much for the honor of God that he was very quick to deflect any honor away for himself. Ezra did not look at the success of the mission, and it was a successful thing, and then take honor to himself. No. There are countless times when he deflected honor away from himself. You know, many people love honor to come their way. They even go looking for it. They make sure to tell others what they have done, and then they wait for the honor to come their way. But Ezra was not like that. Ezra was quick to deflect any honor that came his way. Humanly speaking, all this happened through Ezra's great leadership. It wouldn't have happened, humanly speaking, without him. But Ezra was very quick to point people to God and to give him the honor, wasn't he? Saying multiple times that these things happened because God's hand was upon them for good. That no less than three times does he credit success to God in this passage. If you look at verse 18 and verse 23 and verse 31. Verse 18. Then by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, etc. Verse 23. So we fasted and entreated our God for this. So it's all of them? No. And he answered our prayer. Verse 31. Then we departed upon the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from the ambush along the road. You see, Ezra was clear himself that it was all of God. He was so concerned about the honor of God that any honor that came his way, he was quick to deflect it away to God. He was very clear to say that all these things that happened were because the Lord's hand was upon them for good. Well, I have a few brief applications, or I should say further applications. Hopefully as we listen to the things that I'm saying, or Peter's saying, that we're applying these things to us all the time, but there are a few further applications and they are brief. First, I ask the question to you as an individual, this: what are your priorities? What do you prioritize in life? Perhaps you don't often think about that, or you've never thought about that. And perhaps you would struggle to answer that question. But here's a simple way to know what your priorities are. Think about what you give time to in your life. What do you spend your time doing? Or to put it this way, if suddenly there was an opportunity tomorrow where everything was cleared out of your diary, what would you do? What would you do? Is the worship of God and the honor of God your priorities in life? If they are, then your life will show this. It will be obvious. If you prioritize worship and the honor of God's name, these things will show themselves. If you prioritize worship, then you will do everything you can to worship God, whether that's privately in your daily personal worship or worship with God's people. And I want to say it will be both of those things, not one or the other. Not just private worship or not just public worship. I would say there is a tendency these days to prioritize private worship over public. And ultimately what that means is that people sit at home and worship God privately, but they don't come to church. I remember meeting a Christian for the first time who said he was a Christian. And he was introduced to me privately, or previously, just before I met him. This man is a Christian. He's one of those Christians who don't go to church. And this was about 15 years ago. And I thought, I've never heard of that before. But it's a common thing now. There are people who are sitting at home worshiping God, and they are prioritizing private worship over public. But this is not the teaching of Scripture. If anything, the teaching of Scripture is that public worship is to be preferred over private. Lots of P's there. Public worship is to be preferred over private worship. Private worship is important, it is essential, but public worship is to be a priority. That's what Ezra and the others thought, wasn't it? They didn't stay in Babylon and worship God themselves. important as it was. They wanted to go back and worship God at the temple publicly with his people. So is the worship of God a priority in your life, both privately and publicly? If it is, then it will be obvious. Just as an aside, I do wonder about the lack of Levites that initially we hear of. You know, they're all ready to go to Babylon, and there's this question, where are the Levites? What was going on there? Was it just an oversight somehow that they forgot to let the Levites know? Or we're in the realm of speculation here. Was it that the thought of going to Jerusalem was something that they were not looking forward to, and all the hard work that they would have had to do in the temple, rather than being in that probably beautiful city of Babylon? Was that the reason why they didn't appear first of all? And it's perhaps a lesson to us here that we can have can be drawn to the things of this world rather than worshiping God. So is the worship of God your priority? If it is, it will be obvious. And it will also be obvious if you're prioritizing the honor of God. If you're prioritizing the honor of God, then it will affect everything you do and say. Most people live for their own honor and their own name. But that falls short of the standard that God requires of us. If we are to honor God, then we are to raise the standard of those around us. We are to live our lives in the light of wanting to bring God honor. So we'll be asking ourselves this question regularly. Does this or that bring honor to God? Or when I choose to say this or that, or don't choose to say this or that, does that bring honor to God? Not honor to me, but honor to God. It's very, very practical, this. When I tidy my room, or sit an exam, or do my job, or whatever it is, here's a question. Can I put God's name on that? Will that honor him? Does this represent God well to the world? It's very practical, this. Our standards are for God's honor, not ours or our employer. It's God's honors. I think I've told you about the cabinet maker, the Christian cabinet maker I knew. And he would make cabinets for the honor of God. And what that meant was even the hidden parts of the cabinet that you and I would not see, he would do those to the honor of God. Because God was watching him and he was doing it for God's honor. I hope that makes sense. That we are to live for God's honor. As I said, much of it is very practical, and both in our own lives and in the life of the church. We have considered the finances of the church in this passage this evening. And I'm so glad that this church takes such great care of the finances. That people work with great skill and accuracy. Why? Well, not only to ensure that we're good stewards of the things that God has given us, but also because God's name is at stake. Every penny is accounted for. And that is honoring to the Lord. Because unfortunately there are institutions who do not take great care about these things. And they bring in great dishonor. And if it happens to be a church, then that brings great dishonor upon the Lord. So all those working in the church are working so that God's name is not blasphemed by others in this important area. So I'll finish with this and ask the question, what are your priorities in life? Is it the worship of God and the honor of his name? This chapter searches our hearts, doesn't it? Do I really prioritize worship? Do I prioritize the honor of God's name? Ezra did, those people of God back then did, and we'll see this in the weeks to come. But I want to say that Jesus ultimately did this too. He was all about the worship of God and the honour of his Father's name. So these things, as we walk in Jesus' steps, are to be the priorities of our life. And I want to say that may the Lord produce these priorities in us more and more and more. Or, if these things have never been a priority in your life, that they do it for the first time. Well, let us sing in response to